In a world in which movies struggle to find plot, Alan Adams of The Main Edge breaks it down for you in Pass the Popcorn. Now on Downtown with Rich Kimball.
Let's all go to the lobby.
Oh, you bet.
Let's all go to
talk
the
a little
lobby.
Movies here on Downtown.
Let's
as Alan Adams walks right in, sits down like he owns the place. You know what? Because he does. He's Alan Adams. Damn it. Hello, sir.
Hello. How are you?
Great, great. Your weekend went well?
Oh, yeah. You know, it's messy out there, but
yeah,
but it's fine.
It's okay.
It's one of those things where it's like, oh, you know, right. It's wintertime in Maine. Easy to forget the last couple of years,
right.
But yeah, no, we've had a couple of big ones there right in a row.
We were talking about that. I've been a while since we've had this kind of snowpack out there.
Yeah. Well, it's just like, you know, the neck high snowbanks just out on the sidewalk. You're just like, oh, right. You know, and you look back and it's like, it feels like every winter used to be like that. But
yeah,
like you said, it's been a minute. At least it feels that way.
Somebody, and they meant well. I appreciate it. They came by early morning Saturday and plowed the end of the driveway. And we'd already snowblowed once during
right.
the day, so we didn't have that much. But it was great because the city plow would come by, and so it got rid of all that. But that created that mountain at one end of the driveway that we had to, we sent Graham out to knock down because you couldn't see anything.
Right. Right. Yeah. And, you know, I did a couple of snowblower passes just because you could just tell that this was snow that was going to be some heft to it.
Yeah.
So rather than wait for the whole thing to sort of, just completely, you know, cause my snowblower to explode.
And,
and then I have to shovel the darn thing, I'm past that point in my life.
There are kids in the neighborhood that will do that. You pay them a few bucks.
Oh yeah.
Happy
like, it's like, you know, and it's one of those things where, but you know, kids are smarter these days, and all they'd have to do is look me in the eye and be like, oh yeah, we can take this guy for everything.
right. How badly do you want this shovel? <Yeah.
laughs> Here, take $100. Just make it so I don't have to be out here right now.
Do you have a credit card? A valid card? What's that security number on
there? Yeah, sir. Do you have Square?
Just Venmo me, sir. There you go. Well, let's talk movies. You saw three of them since last we chatted. Where would you like to begin?
We'll start with this one to get it out of the way. I saw an interesting documentary on Netflix.
Called, it's a documentary then, the Tinder Swindler.
Called The Tinder Swindler. it's basically this sort of true crime doc. Felicia Morris directed it. And it's about this dude who basically used Tinder to, entice, he'd match with these women. He would take them on these just unbelievably lavish, like, first dates. Like, we're talking, like, big dinners and private jets and, like, the whole shebang.
Wow.
He would tell them, he's like, oh, yes, I'm the heir to a diamond fortune and, you know, this and that. They're feeding you the fancy dinner and you're on the private jet and the guy's got private security and all that, you don't really see need to question, I would say. But then, you know, that he would establish relationships with these women. And then, well, I need a favor. My enemies are after me. They had to shut down my credit cards. So could you send me some money, or could you take out a card in my, you know, in your name and give me the access to it, or this or that? These women who are very much, you know, in love or what have you, are just like going into massive debt, you know, handing money over to this guy. You'll be shocked to find out. He was not the heir to a diamond fortune. Just a regular old scammer who basically like a pyramid scheme. Like he would use money from someone to finance the big lavish, you know, extravagance for the next one, and then just keep it going so he could live the high end scumbag lifestyle to which he had grown accustomed. This documentary talks to a couple of women who were swindled by him and talked about sort of the investigation that finally brought his crimes to light. Although, frankly, it does not appear that he has suffered any real consequences for his actions, because Well, that's just the world we live in, I guess. Well, so yeah, the Tinder Swindler. If you're into that sort of true crime kind of doc, it's a pretty zippy. It's like an hour and a half long. It's pretty quick. We had a perfectly pleasant time watching it.
Nice. Alan Adams from The Main Edge talking movies with us here on Downtown. We go Johnny Knoxville next?
Sure. Yeah, we can do that. So Jackass Forever. I will be the first to admit that I acknowledge that what Johnny Knoxville and the rest of the Jackass crew do is not what you would call highbrow.
What?
I concede that. But as someone who ultimately is a 14-year-old boy at heart, I love it. I love it. And I loved this. This movie, it's 10 years since the last Jackass movie. These guys are getting pretty long in the tooth. Like, we're talking their late 40s, early 50s. Right. This time around, they brought in some new faces.
Oh, good.
Getting
whacked in the sack at 48 years old.
Oh, and there's so much sack whacking, Rich. So much. And here's the thing. It's funny every time.
Why do you think America's funniest videos is still?
Do you know
on?
What I mean? And it's just like, and so it's just this chance to watch these guys, sort of go and do this thing that they weren't the first people to hurt themselves to entertain others, but they were the first ones to really turn it into a franchise, I think. And so it's really remarkable to see just about all of them, still walking. They all seem to be in relatively good shape, like relatively healthy, which is, astonishing in its own way. I'm not going to sit here and try to give you a plot synopsis, because here's the thing. There's no plot.
No.
This is not a movie in any traditional sense. They've basically stitched together like 30 bits, they all involve some sort of secretions, human or animal, or some sort of genital trauma, getting hurled into the air or into the ground or into the air and then into the ground, I just laughed the entire time. Because here's the thing that I think elevates it beyond some of the mere sort of abuse of it all. These people genuinely love each other. Like, and that's the thing. And to see that sort of real joy, that camaraderie, that delight that they take in basically just farting around with their friends. Like, I think that's the energy that really makes this movie work. Now, I'm not gonna lie to you. There are a number of moments in this where I found myself squirming a little bit, like cringing a little bit, a little uncomfortable, but right from the get-go, there's an elaborate set piece that opens the movie that is basically it's sort of a model city that is being attacked by a giant sort of Godzilla type creature, but as you quickly learn, said Godzilla-type creature is actually just Jackass cast member Chris Pontius's penis painted green and turned into a puppet. And you're just like, okay, like, this is what we're doing. Fantastic. And and that really sets the tone, because it's just like, Johnny Knoxville gets shot out of a cannon. He gets attacked by a bull. I mentioned the various traumas that these guys inflict on themselves and on one another. And it's just really funny. And, and it's interspersed with like these moments of sort of behind the scenes camaraderie. There are some, pretty famous sort of celebrity guests. Tony Hawk turns up in this one. He's been in a couple. Tyler, the Creator, is in one of the sketches. Eric Andre shows up for a little bit. He's one who's sort of picked up the mantle of Jackass a little bit. And then of course there are numerous hospital visits. people being taken away from the set in ambulances, and then there's always a camera there when they come out, wheeled out in the wheelchair, and it's like, someone's in a sling, someone's in a cast, And all the while, like, they're just having a great time. I think there's a running bit where one of the cameramen, who's been with them since the beginning, has a bit of a weak stomach. And so, like, the dude basically has to, you know, it's almost throws up multiple times from watching what these people are doing to each other. You know, which is bad enough in ordinary circumstances, but the dude's wearing a mask. So, and you don't want to, you know, you don't want to boot in an N95. No, you know God, what I'm talking about? No. But yeah, look, this movie is very much not for everybody. it's the sort of movie that is frankly ideal for young men and young men at heart, people who have these sorts of playfully antagonistic relationships in their lives. And again, can't stress it enough. If any of this sounds disconcerting to you, please don't go see this movie because it's so much worse than I'm telling you right now. There are so many things in this movie. I'm trying not to spoil anything, but just it's staggering the amount of abuse these guys put themselves through. But if you are someone who delights in this sort of thing, all I can say is I had a fantastic time.
That's all you can ask for. All right, I'm so interested to hear your thoughts on Moonfall, because based on what I've seen from the trailers, I don't think there could be any middle ground in this. That it's either going to be terrific or, oh my God, what happened?
So here's the thing.
Uh-oh.
It is an astonishingly stupid movie. This movie is like, nothing about this movie makes sense from a narrative perspective, from a character motivations perspective. Like, none of it makes sense. But man, is it a good time. The basic gist
we're still talking Jackass. No,
that's the thing. It's like, it's funny that these two movies sort of came out the same weekend, because I feel like there's a pretty significant overlap in the Venn diagram in terms of the sorts of people who are going to enjoy them. So Moonfall, it's the latest from, disaster piece artist Roland Emmerich. He also co-wrote the script, and basically it's a movie about the moon falls. Rich, we start in 2011. There's a space shuttle mission where some astronauts are trying to fix a satellite, but in the midst of the spacewalk, astronaut Patrick Wilson, I forget his character name. It doesn't matter. He's Patrick Wilson. He's out there with another astronaut. Whose name I also don't remember, but you'll understand why in a second. He's out there, and he turns around, and he sees this crazy sort of swarm of nanobots or some sort of thing coming at him from space, attacks him, knocks the other astronaut flying off into space. We never see him again, and hits the shuttle, sending it into a spin, and knocking unconscious the other astronaut, Halle Berry, who, again, don't remember her name, doesn't matter. And so there's no explanation. Like, Patrick Wilson makes his way back to the shuttle and manages to stabilize it. But the other astronaut is lost. We then find out that there was a NASA inquiry. Patrick Wilson tries to tell his side of the story, and nobody believes him. Weird. Halle Berry's like, "You're my friend, but I didn't see anything because I got knocked unconscious. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to tell you." And so he's kicked out of NASA in disgrace. And that's sort of where that time period ends. We flash forward to the present day. Patrick Wilson is, he's every disgraced astronaut you've ever seen in a movie. Like, he lives alone in this sort of shabby, rundown kind of apartment. Although he also has a pristine, beautiful motorcycle that he rides because, he's an astronaut. Halle Berry is now second in command at NASA. And this is when we meet another guy. The character's name is Casey Houseman, who is a mega structuralist.
Oh.
Which is a person who studies megastructures, specifically megastructure being the giant structures in space constructed by aliens for reasons.
Oh.
And he's devoted his life to the study, and he's also been trying to, he sort of wormed his way into a lab at UCal Irvine and managed to get his hands on some orbital measurements for the moon. And that's when he discovers, oh no, the moon's orbit has changed. Whoa. And so he tries to get people to listen to him, including going to Meet an Astronaut Day, which is where he encounters Patrick Wilson. Patrick Wilson doesn't believe him. But then NASA's scientists somehow later than the one rando with a gateway desktop somehow they discover also that the moon's orbit has shifted, and now it's like, oh God, what's happening? And they start investigating, and wouldn't you know it, turns out there's something in the moon. Double turns out maybe Patrick Wilson wasn't so crazy after all.
Oh boy.
And then, well, then the moon starts getting closer. And
don't look up.
Yeah, do not. Because bits of the moon start falling off. Gravity starts shifting. The tides get all wonky. But then they're like, wait, the moon's not massive enough to have that sort of an impact. And then, well, look, I'm just going to say, the moon is not as it seems, Rich.
Megastructure.
And so because of circumstances, Patrick Wilson, Halle Berry, and this random doctor guy have to get on a space shuttle. Has to be a space shuttle because electronics are somehow negatively affected because reasons. So they have to go up into space in a space shuttle on a mission to the moon to find out what's going on. And Rich, let me tell you, some stuff is going on.
Oh, man.
And meanwhile, while all this is happening, there's a secondary plot where Patrick Wilson's family, his wife and his now grown son, along with wife's new husband, played delightfully by Michael Pena, who's in this movie, they're trying to make their way to safety as the moon again falls. we're just bouncing back and forth between these storylines. None of it really makes any sense. There's no rhyme or reason to when we go from storyline to storyline. There's just a lot of stuff that doesn't really add up. But all that being said, man, Roland Emmerich, he can destroy some stuff on screen. Like, he is good at that. And so, you're just sort of leaning back and you're like, okay, none of this, like, I don't understand how any of this is working. I don't think anyone involved in this understands how it's working. But man, like, it is just fun to watch. The moon starts orbiting, the orbits come faster because it's closer.
Yeah.
And every time it gets closer, some more crazy crap starts happening. So it's like, oh, now big pieces are falling off. Now gravity doesn't work the same way anymore.
Mm.
We're running out of the atmosphere is getting burnt up because the moon is so close. Again, I don't understand if there's I assume there's no scientific basis behind any of this. But even with all that, you're just like, everyone on screen is like, it's one of those things where it's like they all clearly know how crazy this is. But there's no winking. There's no nodding. Like, it's not like they're all playing it straight. And that's why it works. Like, as soon as Patrick Wilson like turns to the screen and gives you a big like elbow nudge, you're like, okay, well, but nobody does that, and so it's just very, it's treated very straightforwardly. Oh, and before I forget, there's all sorts of crazy scenes that just kind of come out of nowhere in this movie. At one point, Halle Berry winds up in the basement of NASA because NASA has a basement.
Who knew?
Donald Sutherland is there.
Oh.
And we get one scene of Donald Sutherland being like, just going full on like, well, it's like, it's kind of like what he did in JFK. Like, it's just like this one monologue where he talks about all this crazy secret crap that happened with NASA with the first moon landing and all this stuff. And then he just rolls back into the shadows, and that's the last we see of him. Like, he shows up comes in hot for like 3 minutes, and it's just like, oh, okay. I didn't realize it was this kind of movie, but again, I'm here for it. So yeah, do not go into Moonfall expecting a good movie. Like, please, please, please do not do that. However, if you go in with the knowledge that this movie is, again, just astonishingly stupid, and accept that reality, you'll just sit back, jam some popcorn in your mouth, and just let it wash over you. Because, again, doesn't make sense, but there's just something spectacular about watching the moon get bigger in the sky and pieces just start falling off of it, crashing into the earth. Just, yes, this is, it's a throwback to the sorts of 90s action nonsense that that I grew up loving. And if that was your jam, Moonfall will also be your jam.
Alan Adams. breaking it down for us on Pass the Popcorn. Thank you, Alan.
My pleasure.
See you on Wednesday.
Yes, sir.